You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Victoria Luznaski, owner of Brilliant Speakers Academy. Victoria, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me, James.
Well, thanks for being on here. We got a lot going on in this world, and I was poking around on your website. You have some cool stuff going on. So how about for the listeners, we just start out and you just let us know, what is the Brilliant Speakers Academy?
Well, Brilliant Speakers Academy is an online program for introverted entrepreneurs and business professionals who are afraid of public speaking. And so through that program, they can learn to overcome their fear and learn how to craft a compelling talk, engage with their audience, be brilliant on stage or on video, on a live stream, and basically transform from somebody who is scared of public speaking to somebody who is a confident, compelling, and captivating speaker.
Now that is interesting to me because you're talking about introverted speakers, which seems a little bit like an oxymoron. So it sounds like you must have some experience with this.
I have firsthand experience with this, actually, because myself, I am an introvert. I'm very much an introvert. I have a career in corporate. I've built several businesses over the years. And so I am pretty much an introverted business professional and entrepreneur. And I used to be absolutely terrified of public speaking. Plain terrified. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I understand people who say, you know what, I feel like public speaking is a talent, it cannot be learned, because I know I don't have it, why bother? I get those people, because this is exactly how I felt. In my childhood, I was so introverted and so much afraid to speak up. You know, it was hard for me to speak even one-on-one. So let's say growing up, I would blush and, you know, I would lose my train of thought. Like I would feel very uncomfortable. It's just, you know, being an introverted child. And when I was about 10 years old, I was growing up in the Soviet Union, by the way. I moved to the States about 25 years ago or so. But when I was about 10 years old, I was asked to recite a poem. In front of an audience of about 1,000 people, and they just gave me that poem in the morning, and the concert was in the afternoon. And the poem was, I swear, like 3 pages long. And they said, okay, just, learn it by heart, and you go for it. And, you know, it's Soviet Union. You don't just go like, what? You just say, yes, thank you, I'll do it. And so I did actually put a lot of effort, and I learned it. And I stepped in front of a microphone, and I'm all by myself on that big stage, and I'm looking into that, you know, dark audience. And I realize that I am so scared. My mind is completely blank. My legs are shaking. My heart is racing. I'm sweaty. I cannot recall a single line from that poem. And I'm standing there shaking and staring. And, you know, audience starts to giggle, of course.
Sure.
And I just ran off stage in tears. And from that point on, you know, apart from being an introvert and not wanting to communicate too much anyway, now I'm really scared of public speaking, of microphones, of anything that has to do with stage. And I told myself, I will never, ever do this. So I was not growing up dreaming that one day I'll teach public speaking. I was growing up dreaming that I will never, ever have to be in front of a microphone. So, but then, when I moved to the U.S., I started my first business, which was a web development company. And, you know, back then, it was like late 90s. Back then, you didn't have the ability to hide behind your computer, you know, and do a live stream, do a podcast.
Sure.
You actually had, right? I mean, you had to go out there and build your business through actually speaking to people, giving presentations and all of that. You didn't have that luxury that every one of us has today. Well, I did, and, you know, everybody said, hey, you know, do it scared, right? So I'm like, okay, I'll just do it scared. And I did, and I was terrified, and I kept on practicing and doing it. And guess what? I was not getting any better. I was not getting any better. Whoever said practice makes it perfect, I don't think they were talking about somebody who's afraid of public speaking and trying to do it.
You're just because reinforcing the fear.
You are reinforcing the fear. Exactly. You're so right. And I bet you, you know, your listeners right now totally can relate to this. Because, you know, when you're scared of public speaking, no matter how many times you go out there and you try to speak to your audience, the only thought in your mind is, are they judging me? What are they thinking of me? You're not thinking about, you know, your audience or anything else. All you're thinking about is, they're judging me. They're going to find out I'm a fraud. They're going to find out I don't know anything. And when you keep on going in front of your audience every time with that thought, or as I call it, approaching public speaking from a place of fear, the truth is, you're not going to get any better. You're going to continue feeling scared. You know, I've actually spoken to people who have had a corporate career where they had to speak. I've talked to somebody who's been speaking for 10 years. Every month she had to give a presentation, and she said 10 years later, she's still terrified. She's very uncomfortable. She's better, but she still doesn't like it and does not feel confident in front of your audience, which is crazy.
Interesting. All right. All right, so this, remind me again what business this was that you started a while ago?
It was web development. It was
web development. In the late 90s. Mm-hmm.
Late 90s where, you know, back then you had primarily static websites. Remember those HTML websites?
Sure,
nothing. And I was offering my clients to build more complex websites where they could make changes to their website themselves without knowing any coding. So that was a lot of fun, and it was a great business, but again, I had to go out there and speak. And so I had nothing to do with public speaking as far as, you know, being a professional speaker. I was just trying to build my business and expand my business. And so as a result of all of this struggling, I realized that I am doing it all wrong. And then over the years, I've been, you know, correcting it, and I've been figuring out what I was doing wrong. I was changing things. I was learning how to do it right. And, you know, fast forward 10 years, I'm in the corporate, I'm delivering presentations all the time, I'm, you know, building another business on the side. And people come up to me after every presentation and say, oh my gosh, you're amazing, you're a natural. And I'm like, really? I'm not a natural, trust me.
The 10-year overnight success, right?
I know, right? But because it kept on happening, I was like, wait, I guess I've learned something. Because I know I overcame my fear completely. Because when you overcome your fear, when you're no longer afraid of your audience, it never comes back to you. You never get to be scared of your audience ever again. You know, it's like the curtain goes up and it never goes down. You just know what to do, and you never even think about it. But I just realized that there are so many people who struggle with it just like I did, and they don't know how to turn this around. And that's where the Brilliant Speakers Academy really was born, where I started thinking, okay, let me deconstruct everything that I've done for myself. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't just read a book and then taught it, right? I actually had to walk that path for years and years and years that my students are walking. And so I pretty much just went back and I deconstructed everything that I had to do. How did I overcome the fear? How did I learn to create impactful, transformational talks? How did I learn to engage with my audience? And so doing all of that, you know, I created basically a system, a big system of everything that my students need to know to overcome their fear, to become confident, compelling, and captivating speaker. And so that's when I packaged it all in the Brilliant Speakers Academy. So it's funny, you know, I'm teaching it now, but again, I was never growing up thinking that that's my lifelong aspiration, is to be a public speaking coach. But that's how it ended up happening.
So tell me, at what point, well, let's talk about the website business. Did you close that up, or did somebody buy it, or how did you move away from that?
I actually had to close it. I started in the late 90s. I moved to Colorado right around that time, and I really started building from ground up. It was very exciting, very wonderful. You know, I started getting publicity. I started getting to know people. I really started building it. And then about three, four years later, the telecom bust happened.
Oh.
And Colorado economy went completely and totally into, you know, downspin, and it was just really, really bad. My husband lost his job, and we had to make a decision. He got an offer from Houston, and we had to make a decision whether to stay in Colorado or whether we come to Houston, and we decided to come to Houston. But I just felt so overwhelmed to start again from ground zero. Because again, it wasn't the type of a business you can bring over. You know, all my clients remained in Colorado. I had to leave. And so I just didn't do that, and I went back into corporate at that time.
Okay. All right. So this is, you're talking about the dot-com crash, essentially, in the early 2000s.
It was telecom. It was telecom, primarily. It was
telecom.
Telecom was really big. Yeah, it was telecom was really big in Colorado in 2002, 2003 is when it was. Colorado economy just had, like, I don't know, 20% unemployment. It was really, really, really bad at that time. And while the business was still going, yeah, it was bad.
All right.
It was very interesting for anybody who was in IT at that time. And so a lot of people had to close businesses. A lot of people had to downsize. A lot of people had to go out of state to look for jobs. And so that's what we did. Of course, you know, I miss Colorado pretty badly. It was beautiful over there, but, you know, Houston is great. Houston is wonderful. So, and, you know, and I started back in corporate, but I realized that I am an entrepreneur. And so I started another business in real estate. I did some more work in corporate. I worked in education for a little bit as a manager of projects at the Department of Education here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I started my third business, which I still own right now, and it's Natty Scientists of Houston, which is all about inspiring kids to fall in love with science. That was still before I had Brilliant Speakers Academy. So that was my brick and mortar as well as in schools business. And I started it about 6 years ago. It's a franchise. And I've built it from ground up, and I built it to be number one in the U.S. among all other Natty Scientists franchises.
Wow.
And I still own it to this day, though, of course, as you can imagine, in today's world, it is not doing anything. So we're waiting to see what happens.
When you say today's world, you mean this whole corona thing going on, so the past few weeks or couple months, whatever. Okay. Okay,
yes.
So it's just a temporary blip in the scheme of things, considering how long you've had it.
Yeah.
And kids aren't going away. Science, we hope, isn't going away.
No, STEM is not going away. Schools, hopefully, are not going away. They've gone away for a little while right now, and they're probably not going to reopen through the end of the school year. And so, of course, our business is in schools. So that's definitely a downside. As you said, things will go back to normal at some point of time.
Yeah.
And everybody understands the importance of science for kids. And so that's definitely the business that will continue going in some capacity, in some form. And of course, nobody knows what's going to happen past Corona world. So we will see how it goes. But I'm just fortunate enough that several years ago, I also, in parallel, founded Brilliant Speakers Academy, and that I've been working with my students, and I continue working with my students and continue enrolling students in the program. And as an online program, of course, it's not as affected by the economy as brick and mortar or school related business.
Sure.
So having two businesses simultaneously actually turned out to be a blessing.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I would say definitely. You know, it's weird because when I first started my business, I first started mine in 2006, first real business, and I remember reading about serial entrepreneurs, And I thought, who are these clowns that can't commit to one business? And then after you run a business for a little while, you think, I should probably start another one, because you just get that bug or you find a problem that you want to solve. And so you solve another problem, you start another business, and before you know it, you have a few of them. You have a focus issue now. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I was such an idiot, because I don't know of any entrepreneur that's been an entrepreneur for more than a few years that has not started more than one business. Like it's rare that you start a business from scratch and not want to start another one. You're just always on the lookout for stuff, for problems to solve and all that jazz. So, yeah, it's interesting.
That's so true. James, it's so true. And I think the reason is because, I mean, the whole reason why we are entrepreneurs and we're not working a full-time job, working for somebody, is because we do feel that drive inside
mm-hmm.
of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have this, we look for, we may not be, looking for risks. But we
right.
embrace challenges. We embrace risks. We're looking for those, interesting situations where we can actually go and show up in this world, for who we are. I truly believe that all of us have a lot of gifts. And as entrepreneurs, we're just itching to share those gifts with the world, right?
Sure,
whatever
sure.
those gifts are, we're looking for problems that our gifts can help solve. And
mm-hmm.
as entrepreneurs, again, as soon as the business starts running sort of, just without us really being involved that day to day, we get bored. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I felt with, 90 Scientists. After a few years, the first few years were, of course, just really, really, really challenging and stressful because I was working crazy hours because
sure.
I was working on the future of that business.
Mm-hmm.
I was putting systems in place.
Sure.
I didn't have to go and put those systems, but I knew I do not want to do the same things over and over. I do not want my, my employees to do things over and over. I don't want to be employee dependent. I want it to be
mm-hmm.
systems dependent.
Yes.
And
huge.
So it's huge. My first few years, all I've been doing for 90 Scientists, I put in systems in place, creating training videos, just doing all of those things. But then again, after a few years, when you have those things in place, all of a sudden you find yourself working fewer hours and you're like, okay, well, now I have time on my hands. What can I do now, right? That's
sure.
why we as entrepreneurs, we open new businesses, because when your first business doesn't require you to be there, 24/7, 8 hours a week, all of a sudden you feel this itch that, oh my goodness, I have this extra 5 hours. What can I invest them in? I don't know
sure.
about you, but that's how I've always felt all my life. Even when I was working full-time jobs, I was always looking to do things on the side. I was teaching, back in mid-90s, late-90s, I was teaching software development in a computer school as a freelancer. Even though I was working full-time job, even though I was at the time finishing my master's in computer science, I was also teaching as well, just because it's always like this drive to do more, to express yourself more, to meet the challenges, to find challenges. I
sure.
think that's what we entrepreneurs do, right?
That's fair. I would definitely say so. Yeah, definitely
yeah.
say so. That's just what we do. We look for problems and then we solve them. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why
yeah.
it's such an odd time right now, because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs are they've been given the shaft a little bit, restaurant owners and stuff like that. Not necessarily by choice or anything. They just, it's figured out, and that's what we do. So I just wrote a blog
right.
on that this morning. Just,
mm-hmm.
yeah, this too shall pass. So
yeah.
let's move on to I guess let's talk about the science one business, because that's intriguing to me. How did you find the need for that business?
I was at the time working for Department of Education, not as an educator, but again, I was overseeing all the software development projects as applications manager. So I was in that arena, but I was not really an educator myself. I do have a lot of experience with education because, again, I've been teaching myself, not kids, but adults, And at the time, I also had very young kids of my own. And so kind of those things kind of came together, as well as at that time, again, I felt that urgency to go and do something with my life. I was feeling complacent. I was feeling that I'm not using my gift. I'm not using my brain even 50% of the time. And so I started looking for an opportunity to build another business. And I was, you know, looking at different things. Do I want to start something from ground up? Do I want to buy existing business?
Sure.
Do I want to buy a franchise? And franchise looked interesting to me because I'm not a scientist myself, for example, right? So I can't really write myself science classes. But I found a science franchise and I thought, oh my goodness, this is so amazing. It combines my passion for building something. It combines my passion for teaching kids. I love kids, actually do love kids a lot. It combines my passion for being in front of people, because by that time I was already really, really good at public speaking. You know, being in front of people, I know I can go and I can be in front of people. I can promote this company. I can go in front of, you know, schools, in front of parents, in front of all of those audiences. So I thought, okay, that seems like a good fit. But what really sealed the deal for me is, you know, being a franchise, they already had an international franchise, I should say. They already had a lot of things in place that I didn't need to reinvent the wheel. I could take existing classes and, you know, modify them for our market. But a lot of things were already there. So I could focus on my passion for building a business rather than the actual content.
Sure.
And so I did some research and I got that franchise and I bought it for the Houston market, and I was still working for half a year when I already owned the franchise. It was not open yet, but I was setting the foundation. And for those of you, dear listeners, for anybody who is doing this, and I know a lot of people do, where you work a full-time job and you have a side hustle, you're trying
sure.
to build a side business, or you have a full-time job and you dream of being an entrepreneur. You dream of building something from ground up and there is so little time. Trust me, I've been in your shoes. I know exactly how it feels. And so what I was doing is I was, of course, working evenings. Of course, I was working weekends on my new business, trying to set it up to open and for me to quit my job. But what I was also doing is, for example, during lunch hour, you know, instead of going and chatting with, you know, coworkers and just hanging out in a restaurant with them or doing whatever, I would eat my meal in front of my computer within like 3 minutes, and then I would run downstairs, go to my parked car, and I would go into my car with my notes and my cell phone, and I would be making calls, cold calls.
Oh, sure.
To schools, to preschools. And that was spring. I was trying to find enough business for the summer where we can do science shows, where we can do camps, where we can do other activities so that I can open my company in the summer and immediately start bringing lots of revenue.
Mm.
And so I spent several weeks in my car every single lunch break for an hour, or, you know, 50 minutes on the phone, cold calling, cold calling, cold calling. So for those of you who don't have time, and, you know, just like you, I have a family, I have young kids, I have two kids, it's very challenging, but it's very
sure.
doable. And the thing is that I think what I want to encourage everybody is just, you know, do little things, set little goals, don't go crazy. You're going to overwhelm yourself and you're going to feel like, okay, it's not possible, and you're going to give up on your dream to open a business.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set little goals. You have to set little, you know, little chunks of activities. Like my goal wasn't even to close X number of deals. My goal was make X number of calls. That's all I was going for.
So just monitor the activity, the stuff you can control, because you can't control yes or no, but you can control whether you make the call or not.
Whether you make the call or not. You're so right. This is such a good way of putting it. You can only control certain things you cannot control. So you focus and you set your goals around things you can control, which is number of calls you need to make, number
mm-hmm.
of meetings you need to set up, number of companies you need to research. Everything that I've done during that time while I was still working, you know, I would take my lunch hour and I would go and meet with a potential partner. that can help me get into more schools.
Sure.
So all of that was, I was still doing while working, and then by the time I was ready to open my business, truly open it, which was June 1st, I quit the job just the week before that, and I already had camps lined up. I had about 50 science shows lined up. So I had real revenue already coming in, already hired instructors, already, you know, interviewed everybody, trained everybody. I was all good to go. And I just quit my job a week before I started, truly, you know, opened the business.
Sure.
So it is definitely doable. And so for anybody out there, don't be discouraged. It may take a long time, but as long as you continue, you know, making those little steps towards building your business on the side, towards, you know, opening or, you know, continuing building your business on the side.
Sure.
This is definitely doable.
Just perseverance.
Just perseverance.
Mm-hmm. So that business came about, the science business came about before the Brilliant Speakers Academy. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's been about, Business Academy has been around for about a year and a half.
Okay.
2 years, yeah. And my science business has been around for 6 years.
Gotcha. Okay. So what made you want to tackle the whole introverted speakers thing? How did you know there was a market, and how did you know that market would be interested? You know, like the typical entrepreneur questions, right? I'm going to start this. Is there actually an audience, and is that audience willing to pay for this? How did you figure stuff like that out?
Yes. So I was, as I said, about 3 years into my Nutty Scientist business. I started getting this itch that, okay, I have a little bit of extra time. I have so much more I can do. What else can I do? And at that time, I was doing presentations nonstop. In the corporate world, I was doing them nonstop. And as I said, people were coming up to me saying that, oh my goodness, you're amazing. But then I started doing them in front of, in front of school administrators, in front of librarians. And every time people come up and say, I wish I could speak like you. I wish I could be that relaxed and in control in front of an audience. And this is really what started me thinking, wait, I know something that other people compliment me on.
Sure.
I know something that other people seem to want. Maybe me knowing public speaking or knowing how, not even knowing how to do public speaking. A lot of people know how to do public speaking. What I knew was how to overcome the fear while you're an introvert. I realized that what I have is a niche that not a lot of people speak about. So I started doing my research just to see, okay, who is talking about overcoming fear? And I realized not a lot of people talk about it. There are tons of programs on public speaking where they put, you know, a cart in front of a horse, as I call it. Those programs are geared either towards extroverts who are completely not afraid of public speaking, who can just go and talk in front of any crowd, and they teach them how to become a paid public speaker, you know, how to build a public speaking business.
Sure.
Or there are programs that teach you, you know, how to craft your talk or how to walk and talk and get rid of, you know, filler words, like all of that stuff, which is stuff that you should still learn, but is not going to help you. If you are
sure, if you're terrified to get on the stage, it doesn't matter if you're going to use filler words. You're not even getting on the stage. You're not getting that far.
Exactly. And so a lot of people, you know, they would go and take those courses and they're still not doing anything with that knowledge because they're still afraid.
Totally fair.
And so I realized that journey that I had, the journey of going, taking years to go from somebody who is completely terrified to somebody who is completely comfortable, at ease, and not just is not afraid of an audience, but is looking forward to being in a spotlight, to actually enjoying the spotlight.
Sure.
I knew that if I was able to make this journey, I should be able to teach other people how to make exactly the same journey. So as I was doing research, I realized, okay, there are not a lot of people who teach how to overcome your fear. And if I can teach people how to overcome your fear and then teach everything else, like how to craft a compelling talk, how to prepare for a presentation, you know, how to put a system in place to prepare for any presentation, how to put a system in place where you're prepared for any what if scenarios, like what if this happens, what if that happens. When, you know, when I can teach people how to go on stage or in front of a camera and shine, that would be a really, really solid program that people would be interested in. So then I started doing market research. Then I started asking people. I was literally going into Facebook groups and asking people, okay, is it something you're interested in? So that was my like first step. Just to see, just to get, you know, just to get yes or no type of a thing. Or people, you know, I was afraid people will be saying, nah, who needs it when nobody's afraid of public speaking anyway. And of course, everybody's like,
not
oh,
true.
No, I'm terrified. I would love that. Which,
sure.
of course, you know, it's a great first step research.
Sure.
But you still don't know whether that's going to work or not, because you still don't know in depth, will people be really willing. So then I did the next step. Next in-depth step was to schedule interviews with people, and I promised to help them, you know, give them some pointers, you know, do 20 minutes on the phone where I can coach them a little bit, but in return, I can ask them questions about what they need the most, why they feel they need to overcome their fear, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those questions that you need to know. How would it help you? What your life would look like if you did overcome your fear? What your life would look like if you didn't overcome your fear?
Mm.
And so I did those interviews with quite a few people. And what I also did, I didn't record them. I didn't feel, I don't know, it was just me. I just kind of didn't feel it was ethical to record over the phone. But what I was doing a lot of notes, like literally writing down exactly what they're saying. I was picking up their language. Like they were saying, you know, if I overcome my fear, I will be able to go and share my message and so important to me. Or if I don't overcome my fear, my business will never grow. I was literally picking up what they're saying.
Sure.
So that I could use that language in my promotional material so that I can speak the language of my potential clients.
Sure.
And so after I did all of those interviews, I had a really good idea of what people are looking for, what they want. And then I started building the program. I, you know, spent a long time sort of interviewing myself, you know, deconstructing everything that I've done, trying to. And I'm very much left-brain, James, honestly. I mean, you can probably tell. I mean, there is a reason why I've been in IT for years and I have master in computer science. I'm left-brain. I can build a system.
Okay.
I think in systems. And so I didn't just want it to be, you know, wishy-washy and, you know, some beautiful words of wisdom and then you overcome your fear. No, I wanted to give really, truly a framework to people that they can follow. And so I've built that program. I've built the online program, and the next step was to test run it to see if it really works.
Sure.
And so I've offered it to some people that I interviewed during my interview process. I offered it to some people I knew who struggled with public speaking. I offered it to some of the people on my list who I already had on my list by that time. And I limited the group to 10 students, and I had very specific requirements that they need to be introverted, that I wanted them to be entrepreneurs, because at that time I was targeting entrepreneurs like myself specifically.
Sure.
And I ran a beta test. I ran through the whole program with my beta students. And we've gone through module 1, through module 7, together as a group, and the results were great. The results were terrific. Students have gone through that program, and in 8 weeks, you know, students were saying, I'm no longer hiding from opportunities. I'm now actively looking for opportunities to speak. I had students who said, I know now exactly how to go in front of an audience, what I need to say, and I'm not afraid. I had students who were still in the program, you know, as they were going through the program, they were already saying, oh my goodness, I'm on module 3.
Sure.
And I have this major breakthrough where I understand why I was scared and I understand why I won't be scared anymore. So that was amazing. And so recommendation I have for anybody, of course, we've all heard of beta testing, but if you can do it, definitely do it because it's so much worth it. You not only prove that your system works, because of course there is always a doubt in the back of your mind, well, I know it worked for me, but will it work for my students? And then you prove that that system that you build work for anybody. Because I had people from different countries, I had people from different educational background, economic background, and it worked. And so that's when I knew that I can offer this program to general public, that I can start offering it to the world, and I've been helping students ever since.
Nice. That is super cool. So it sounds like for something like this, there's a lot of time initially invested, and then after that point, it's either maintenance or marketing is what it comes down to. Is that correct?
In a way, yes. And under maintenance, I would also say maintenance as a twofold. Maintenance as maintaining the system, because you always want to improve it. Or at least I'm a perfectionist, which is not a good thing, by the way. But
it's pro and con, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is an extent of when it's a good thing, and then beyond that, it becomes a bad thing because perfectionism stops you in your tracks, right? And you keep on perfecting something instead of showing the world what you've done.
Right.
And that was my problem for the longest time. I was actually been perfecting it for way too long before I was ready to say, okay, beta test. I was perfecting for way too long. But at the same time, so the maintenance is making your system better. Because as students start going through it, you may get something where you're like, oh, maybe I wasn't quite as clear. Let me add another maybe handout to help my students through this. So that's one aspect of it, where you're updating the system all the time. And, you know, with my students, everybody does it differently. But with my students, my students have lifetime access, which means if I roll out version number 2 of Brilliant Speakers Academy, they will all have it right away. I'm not going to charge them for it. It's just going to be their system. So I'm making changes, and that's maintenance. But the second part of it is maintaining your current students, you know, mm-hmm. helping them through the program, because I do not believe in self-study courses all that much.
Okay.
And the reason I don't believe in them is because I am myself very much invested in my own self-development and learning. I'm crazy about learning. I'm constantly investing in the courses, into all kinds of programs, because I want to become better. I want to be smarter. And I believe in this. I truly do. But from my experience, when you have a self-study course, you either get complacent with it, you know, you you do week one, and then you're like, I'll do it later, and you never come back to it. Case in point, you know, right now during this time, Corona time, there are a lot of universities who release their free courses, and I'm taking a free course by UPenn. And I was all gung-ho about it, and it's a self-study course, right? So I'm all gung-ho. I've done the first week. And then I'm like, it's a great course. I'm going to get back to it. And it's been now a week and a half, and I haven't touched it. So I know the self-study courses, no matter how excited you are, very often students put them aside because, you know, they just forget all about it. Some of them never start on it, even though they spent the money. Some of them start on it, and they, you know, really committed. But then they run into an issue, into a roadblock, and they cannot continue. So I'm a big believer into that you have to help them. As a course creator, as a program creator, you have to be their coach. You have to be their mentor. And so the Brilliant Speakers Academy always came with a bonus of a free Facebook group where I am every day supporting my students. And I'm doing weekly Q&As there every single week. Again, with the purpose of supporting my students. I'm sending them emails every single week, just my group, my students, supporting them, giving them words of encouragement, reminding them why they're doing it, and reminding them that I'm there to help. Because the truth is, if you are a program creator, if you are a course creator, you have to remember that the reason we do it is because we want to see the results, right? We want our students to get results. We're not doing it purely to sell our course and make money. If that's your reason, then I don't believe you're truly, you know, your true heart-centered.
Right, you probably wouldn't have that much to offer anyways. because you wouldn't have the passion,
you know,
to really get the people interested.
Right. Absolutely. You know, yes, of course we're entrepreneurs because we want to make money, but it's not all. I want to see every one of my students out there without fear, with confidence, with passion, with love, talking to their audience. And it just, it melts my heart every week. I actually prompt in the Facebook group, I prompt my students to say, hey, what did you guys do this week to step out of your comfort zone? Or what did you guys do this week to get a little win? And
sure.
They're posting things every week. And so every week I'm reading their post and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, somebody is 3 weeks, 2 weeks in the course. And they're like, I just did a live stream and I never in a million years thought that I'll be able to do it. And I just did it. And I got so many comments and, you know, people love it. If they were doing a self-study course, they may have given up. But with me, they are constantly helping them. And, you know, if they have a question, you get stuck, you have a question, your course creator is there to help you. So if you are in the same line of business as me, if you are a course creator, if you are a product developer, it's mandatory to have true support, not just, you know, lip service support, but true support where you care about your students and you help them through whatever framework you've created. And my framework is a Facebook group, which is, you know, it's very easy to implement and it's very easy to maintain. It takes my time, but it doesn't take, you know, a crazy amount of my time. But
sure.
My students feel heard, they feel supported, they feel coached, because I coach them with any chance I get. And if they have a question, you know, then I have a question that's not even in line with my expertise. I've had a question, somebody said, hey, I love the way you created your videos for Brilliant Speakers Academy. You know, I do slides with me on camera. It's very seamless and it's really, really beautifully professionally done. And I've done it myself. And so they're asking me, how did you do it? Can you tell us? Which is not public speaking at all. You know, I really, it's not even a question.
Right, no, it's program creation.
But I'm happy to do it. So I spent half an hour and I recorded a live stream where I recorded my computer and I walked them through, you know, the graphic system I've used, the video system I've used. I walked them through my, you know, video setup, how I recorded videos, microphone, everything. Spent half an hour, recorded this. It's half an hour of my time. I don't mind. But now it's in the Facebook group. My students have access to it. They're thrilled. So many people already said, oh my gosh, I'm going to now take your system of creating videos, I'm going to implement it. It's wins that, you know, that you can create for your students when you show up, when you really care.
Absolutely. Oh, huge, huge.
And especially in times like right now, again, right now.
Some challenging times, yeah.
Challenging times. You do want to show up more. And not less. And it's harder to show up more. As we laughed before we started this interview, I'm in my car, guys. I am in my car. My car is running. I'm in my car, on the phone, in the driveway. Because I cannot do this from home. It's too loud. My husband is working from home. My kids are doing homeschool from home to their school. And my dogs are barking.
Sure.
And I had to escape to the car. But you still, no matter how challenging, no matter how hard it is, you have to go and show up for your clients. You have to show up for your students. You have to show up for your potential clients. You have to show up for your audience. You just have to go and show up in this time, because there are going to be a lot of people who will disappear when times are hard. Not because they disappear, they can no longer do business, but because they just don't want to do the hard stuff. They just don't want to go and be in front. But
you know,
not you.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I was just joking with an office mate that I keep seeing a lot of people talking about what to watch on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, that they want to just sit on the couch during this time now that they have a bunch of extra time and just binge watch and just be a couch potato kind of thing. I'm like, isn't everybody concerned about their health? Shouldn't they be doing something health-wise? Like, go for a run, a bike ride, a hike, something like that, where you can kind of keep moving or improve your business in some way, shape, or form, or do something other than just sitting on the couch watching TV endlessly?
Absolutely. No, you know,
it's counterproductive.
My personal rule, and I'm just blessed that I have elliptical at home. I've had it for, I don't know, 10 years probably, but it's really
sure.
awesome elliptical. I have it in the living room in front of a TV. And my personal rule, if I want to watch anything, and I don't watch TV, I just do, you know, Netflix or movies. But
sure.
if I want to watch anything, I have to jump on elliptical. It's like my TV is powered from elliptical. I have to be
elliptical. You gotta be moving.
I'm no longer on elliptical.
Sure.
I don't watch TV anymore, then I turn off the TV. It's you know, one of those things, you have to set the rules. You have to set, and you're so right about this time being the time when watching Netflix is not the way to go. If you're wasting right now your time when you actually do have extra time, and I've been talking to my students for the last 2 weeks, both of my live streams have been about this. Look, guys, right now we all have extra time. Because we don't have to commute to work or to our business. You know, things are closed. We don't go to the store. We don't meet friends. We have an extra hour at least. Every single person out there, except for doctors maybe, has an extra hour. And why don't you take that extra hour and invest in yourself? Go and pick up that course that you bought 3 years ago and you never took. Go take that, you know, free live stream. Go listen to that free live stream. Go listen to podcasts. But invest in yourself. Take this time to come out stronger on the other side. Ask yourself every day, what can I do today that I don't regret wasting my time? What can I do today so that when this thing is over and I look back, I say, you know what? I did everything I could to get myself to the other side.
Right. That's perfect. I love that you can feel proud and you can see some results instead of like saying, well, at least I knocked out that show. I watched every single episode or something like that. What did that accomplish?
That is not an achievement, guys. That is not an achievement. And you
I don't want to say that there's not a time and a place for chill time, but I do not believe that time is until this blows over, right? For the next month or two or whatever, however long it takes for people to get bored. That they just sit on the couch that whole time seems like a terrible waste to me. Just of intellectual talent, right? Like I feel that there's an obligation that people have to do something with themselves, to contribute to society as a whole.
Absolutely. I cannot agree with this more. So true. Particularly if you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's probably a must, right? Whether they, I was having a conversation with a guy about, I said, I feel so bad for the restaurant owners because I feel like they've been dealt a terrible hand here. They already got it pretty tough. Let's talk before all this Corona stuff happened, they were having a rough time with employees because I don't know by Houston where you're at, what the unemployment rate was, but by us is crazy low. And employees knew that. So a lot of times I said it was kind of funny, right? It's like they raised prices so that the employees were more expensive, but the quality of the employee went down because employees may or may not show up and they may or may not do the job. It's just typical employee stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, they've been dealing with that. And then all of a sudden, almost overnight, the government's like, hey, you can't be open.
Yeah.
Funny story. Sorry about your livelihood.
It is very scary, and I am literally experiencing this with my business right now. I mean, I have brick and mortar that's been closed for 3 weeks now, completely closed because we cannot have kids in our place right now. Well, I mean, right now we're staying in place anyway, but we couldn't even back then because everybody knew Corona is contagious. And so all the birthday parties, all the camps, everything got canceled. Every single one of our shows got canceled for spring break. We completely had to close everything. You know, schools are closed. We cannot do after school programs. We have, at the moment, we have zero revenue coming. Zero, and it's going to be zero for the foreseeable future. So I am one of those businesses that totally gets it, that right now is a bad time. It's a bad time, and my employees work part-time, and so they only get paid when they work. So they, you know, I don't have the employee expense, but I still have the office space and everything. So It's definitely challenging. It's unpredictable. Who could have thought that schools could be closed? I mean, I felt my business was recession-proof because
I have heard that so many times from I've heard it on both ends, right? Recently and in the past, and I was like, recession is just overall, sure, but pandemic or earthquake or insert problem here, I doubt that there's any business that is is every single problem proof. Like there's bound to be something. I always joke with people like, what if Oprah came on TV and said, the industry that you're in is terrible, don't ever use it.
Like, oh my gosh, that would be the end of it.
Right, and then just vice versa, right? What if Oprah came on and said, oh my gosh, this business that you're in, this industry, that's the best, go throw your money at them. Then all of a sudden you have the opposite problem, right, where you get two going on. It's just interesting how everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, a lot of people have this perception that there's no way that their business could fail. And I think deep down in the back of their head, that's a hope, certainly a hope, because you don't want to build a business that could fail at the slightest issue, because there's always going to be problems. But on the other hand, it's all but impossible to make a business that can withstand anything. So it's a challenging time. I feel bad for so many business owners that just, I feel like they got a 2x4 to the head.
Yeah.
So and it's not stopping for any foreseeable future. So,
yeah.
But I guess and that said, you gotta see the people, what are they doing at this point now? Like, are they just sulking or are they figuring out a different way? I mean,
I can tell you from my own experience, you know, when you cannot do anything, you cannot do anything. Obviously, in my case, my business is not my brick and mortar or in school business is not the kind of business I can take online. There is just really no way for me to take that online. We provide materials for the kids. It's hands on. But I'm looking at my neighbors in the office space which I live on the strip. I'm looking at my neighbors and they're trying. Everybody's trying. You know, Taekwondo owner is trying to do the classes online, and I actually talked to him and, you know, gave him some pointers and some advice on what he can do online, how he can make his classes more personal, give parents some personal feedback to warrant those monthly payments that he's still getting from the families. You know, we have Kumon next to me, which is tutoring business, art supplies. It's just, there are all of these businesses. Everybody's trying to do something, but reality is, I don't think any of us have ever been exposed to a situation, situation that we're experiencing now. Whenever we imagine that, we in Houston, we are exposed to business closing and all of that stuff because of hurricanes. I mean, we lived through so many hurricanes here. I don't want to say we don't care, we care. But it's like, you know, one of those things that just happened. Oh, hurricane in the Gulf. Okay. You know, business may close for a little bit. But never we experienced anything at the level and extent that we're experiencing now. It's all brand new ground for all of us. And so the only, you know, words of wisdom that I can give is try your best to look at your business from every angle and see if there is anything at all you can do with it. If there is anything at all you can do with it. And that's when I feel like diversifying your offerings, diversifying your business or businesses is a good advice. And in my case, again, I have as my second, there is nothing I can do with my first business, no matter what I do, unless schools open, there is nothing we can do. But I feel that my other business, on the other hand, can withstand this situation because my Brilliant Speakers Academy is entirely online and I have students all over the world and it's still working. So you try to figure out maybe right now is the time how you can take your current business online if there is any way to take it online.
Right. I can see your Brilliant Speakers Academy doing well now since there's a bunch of introverts that are essentially in their cozy place now. They're told to stay inside. They're like, yes, now is our time to shine. But they know that eventually this time is going to pass and they're going to have to get on that stage. And maybe the Brilliant Speakers Academy is just what they're looking for, just what they need.
Yes, I just had several students enroll yesterday. I was running a masterclass and several new students enrolled. Everybody is unfortunately forced right now to be exposed. You know, if before you could just get away with like a little meeting with one of your coworkers, for example, right now you have to go on Zoom and you may be in front of the whole department. So everybody is exposed all of a sudden.
Sure.
Funny. As a business, you didn't ever have to, you know, maybe interact with your customers face-to-face. And now all of a sudden you have to go live and you have to go face-to-face and talk to your customers as an owner. And so a lot of people now have a need for learning public speaking skills. And if they're afraid, they're in a lot of trouble. And so, of course, yes, with Brilliant Speakers Academy, I can see how I can help a lot more people now.
Sure.
And I am offering a lot more free training, a lot more free things that can help my audience. And of course, those who want to work with me directly, then they enroll in the Brilliant Speakers Academy.
Sure. That's awesome. Well, Victoria, we got to wrap this up. Where can people find you online?
Or at my website, which is www.brilliantspeakersacademy.com or www.byvictorial.com.
Byvictorial.com or brilliantspeakersacademy.com. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. Thank you so much, Victoria, for being on the show. I appreciate you coming on, even if you had to sit in your car to be able to keep some quiet. Yeah, you know, with technology, we don't even have to wear clothes to be talking with people with stuff like this. So there's something to be said for that.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. And good luck to everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios and a car, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on the web, please like, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kateman, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw-In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And, of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Victoria Luznowski, owner of Brilliant Speakers Academy. Victoria, thank you again. This has been super awesome.
Thank you so much.
I feel like you have a lot to share, and I feel like there's a lot of introverts there that could use your services now. So this is super cool.
Thank you.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.